Pitch decks. In the old days, we actually wrote out a 20 to 30 page business plan document. Today, a tool called a pitch deck serves as a summarized and visual version of a business plan. It is in the form of a slide presentation and will become the single most valuable communication tool to use with audiences of all types. You will rely on it for multiple purposes. You'll use it for presentations to investors, and if you ever decide to pitch at a formal pitching event, you'll obviously need one. You can also use it as a supporting visual backdrop for sit-down conversations with investors. The absolute most important aspect of an effective pitch deck is the storyline that serves as the foundation. Second most important is the flow, which means the topic ordering and content. Formatting is also important, but if the prior mentioned ingredients aren't right, formatting alone won't save you. Foundation. A great pitch deck takes the audience on a journey. It should be like a story, compelling and with a beginning, middle, and end. After hearing the story, you want the audience to be interested in more information, to ask more questions, and to draw certain desired conclusions. Those desired conclusions should be identified ahead of time so they can serve as the foundation for your pitch deck. You'll build your story backward from these. Before worrying about the order of the slides, and certainly before typing words onto the slides, first decide what you want the audience to conclude regarding your venture. That's your foundation, and both the content and flow of your pitch deck should be optimized to support it. What sort of things might you want the audience to conclude? Below are some examples that might apply to your venture. This company's market opportunity is huge. That's a really innovative solution for a really nasty problem. These founders are total badass ninjas. Wow, they've already got some unbelievable traction. What is most exciting about your business plan from an investor's perspective, and what conclusions are you hoping they will draw? As you tell your story using your pitch deck, you should put extra emphasis on the sections that specifically correspond to those same topics. This means extra slides, extra content, and extra time spent on those sections to help ensure the desired conclusion is reached. Flow. The sequence of topics in your pitch must support the objective of creating a compelling story. There are multiple ways any given story can be told, but for fundraising purposes, there is a common pitch deck flow that active investors are used to seeing. I will explain that sequence as a starting point while also covering the typical content that is included with each section. The guidance provided here assumes you have a shipping product with paying customers. If you haven't yet launched your product, in some sections, you will instead discuss your plans, projections, and predictions, while other sections or subsections might need to be skipped altogether for now. The problem. What problem does your solution solve? Every section in your pitch deck is important, but this one is absolutely critical. If the investor doesn't believe you are solving a problem that needs to be solved, or that isn't sufficiently painful to cause people to pay money to have it solved, you may as well stop the meeting. That's because the rest of your business plan doesn't matter. Storytelling is often a great way to convey the problem you're solving. Describe either a real or mythical customer in the context of the problem. Set the stage with some background about them or their situation, and then transition into the problem they experience. If you or someone close to you experience the problem, then tell your own story. This has the added benefit of evidencing your personal passion for the company's mission. The nastier the investor perceives the problem to be, the better. Here's a brief example for a mythical company named Doggy Drone. This is Florence. She's 84 years old and lives at home by herself. Not only does she enjoy the company of her dog Sunny, but her doctor told her that having a loving pet at home helps keep her blood pressure down and her depression in check. The problem is that Florence's health no longer allows her to take Sunny for the walks outside that he really enjoys and gains exercise from. It really saddens her when Sunny paws at the front door to signal that he's ready for a walk outside. Sometimes, she actually pays a neighbor kid to take Sunny for a walk, but that cost really adds up for 2 walks per day, and the neighbor isn't even available that often. I'll stop there, because hopefully you get the idea of how storytelling can both explain the problem you're solving and help the investor actually feel the pain of your customer. Don't you feel bad for Florence, and don't you want to help her and Sunny? Now just imagine the story you could tell if the problem solved is brain cancer or cyber terrorism. You don't have to tell a story, but you must convey the problem you solve in such a way that the investor both understands and identifies with the pain. With this, you will have their full attention for the next section of your pitch. The market. The second crucial part is your opportunity to describe the audience or audiences that most experience the problem you solve. What do your target customers have in common? Perhaps they're in the same industry or have similar demographics. This is also your opportunity to communicate the size of your market. How big would you be if you sold your product to every constituent that needs it? This is called your total available market, called TAM. There are other variations of market sizing, and you'll need to educate yourself on this to make sure you don't lose credibility with the investor. It is also important that they see you serving a big market. That usually means having a TAM in excess of $1 billion. The Doggy Drone pitch deck might mention the 30 million families worldwide that have one or more pet dogs. Assuming a $500 purchase price, Doggy Drone's TAM is $15 billion. But maybe the first version of the drone only supports dogs up to 25 pounds and is only sold in the United States. This information is used to determine the current serviceable market, called SAM. And maybe their product roadmap has plans for a mobile app that will be sold via subscription, which will affect the future TAM and SAM in a positive way. This is also the section where you can describe other interesting attributes about the market you serve. Is it growing rapidly? Are there any interesting trends that relate to your solution or business model? Is it highly fragmented or available for entry? Educate the investor about your market in ways that best support your vision and business plan. The solution. The solution is what founders love to talk about the most. Just remember that investors want to see that you're building a viable and highly scalable company, not just a product. As you describe your solution offering, focus more on the benefits it provides users than on the features and capabilities it incorporates. It's okay to show what the product looks like, but don't turn your whole investor pitch into a product demo. The Doggy Drone pitch deck would focus on how easy it is to select a walking distance and desired route, see real-time video of the dog on a walk, and calculate the estimated time remaining for the walk. It would have a sexy image of the product in action, but it would not include a bunch of technical specifications for the drone. If you have any patents or technological characteristics that could be considered unfair advantages against the competition, this is the place to cover that information. In fact, investors will at least want to understand the competitive landscape you're playing in. A four-quadrant diagram is usually the most effective, with your company in the top right quadrant. You get to decide what the axes represent. If this doesn't work for you, consider a multi-column checklist, with your company as the first or last column, or a Venn diagram, with your company at the intersection in the middle. The purpose of sharing your competitive positioning isn't to get into the weeds on tactical details, but rather to support the high-level story you're telling the investor. It is not only okay to show that you have competition, but it's expected. "We don't have any competition" is immediately met with skepticism on the part of the investors, even though every once in a while it's true. The business model. Your business model is composed of two key things: how you acquire customers and how you make money. For customer acquisition, don't get into details about specific marketing campaigns, but rather, describe the various methods you use for acquiring customers. Maybe in order to get paying customers, your business model incorporates a combination of a free entry-level offer, called a freemium, and self-service fulfillment. Or maybe you have a network of distribution partners that sell your product. Doggy Drone probably sells both online and in retail pet supply stores. For making money, you should describe how your product is priced and any information you have about average transaction size or similar metrics that relate to monetization. This is also a good section to describe the most important metrics that make up your unit economics. Let's pause for a definition of unit economics. Unit economics is the science of breaking your business into individual units of measure related to the specific activities that ultimately lead to revenue. The activities and related metrics typically span the customer acquisition lifecycle, starting with awareness to consideration and finally to a decision. Unique elements of unit economics are associated with each of the various possible startup business models. Traction. Any evidence that your business model is or will be viable can be considered traction. Of course, a trend graph showing aggressive growth of paying customers is the best form of traction, but it is not the only one. If you haven't yet launched, you'll need to get creative in order to evidence traction. Pre-orders are nice. Active trials or letters of intent to purchase are better than nothing. A signed strategic partnership that isn't yet producing results but seems very promising will carry some traction value. Even things like awards, positive influencer reviews, and press coverage can carry a little traction weight until you are generating revenue. Your team. Investors are betting on you and your team above everything else. A strong team will adjust and adapt as necessary until a great company with a great business model is identified. Share key insights about the skills, backgrounds, and success record of key team members, especially proof points that directly relate to the current opportunity. This section can include board members or advisors if they bring something special to the table and can boost the credibility of the team. In the early days, when there are only a couple of founders, this can be especially helpful. For example, Doggy Drone's CEO previously founded a company that made the world's first automatic dog and cat feeder system, and later sold the company to the largest manufacturer of pet supplies for $350 million. They also have an advisory board member that is the current chairman of the largest pet store retailer in the country. The call to action. You are asking for an investment, right? This is the section where you share important details about your funding round. It typically includes the target funding amount, a couple of key investment terms, and the outcomes you expect to accomplish with the desired funding. Focus on outcomes, not the activities you will engage in or the ways you will spend the money. Remember that investors write checks for outcomes, not activities. The $2 million that Doggy Drone is raising for their seed round is expected to enable them to create a second model of the drone that supports dogs that weigh between 25 and 50 pounds, which expands their serviceable market by 125%. It also enables them to ramp up to 550 unit sales per month, reducing their manufacturing costs by 20% due to the increased volume, and improve their gross profit margins from 50% to 60%. Those are great outcomes for an investor to fund. The backup section. The backup section will become one of your greatest assets. It sits after the call to action slide and serves as a repository of information to support Q&A. You can't possibly fit every aspect of your business plan in the main part of the pitch deck. You also don't know what questions or objections each investor will have. But if you have a slide in the backup section for each of the things you don't want included in the main section, you can jump there to help answer specific questions or alleviate concerns. Charts and graphs, more product screenshots or diagrams, your product roadmap, detailed financial projections, and the like can make for great backup section content. In fact, you will probably find that your backup section grows as you meet with more and more investors and discover the most common questions and objections that would benefit from having a backup slide. If you are required to email the pitch deck to a prospective investor before a first meeting, you might want to remove the backup section. I say required because your objective is to get a face-to-face meeting. You don't want them to make their full decision based on your emailed pitch deck alone. But after politely pushing back on the request and offering a second time to buy the investor coffee, you might get a reaction that causes you to realize that emailing your pitch deck is the only way to keep the opportunity alive. The full storyline. In a highly simplified narrative form, the final result of this suggested flow might be something like this. There is this really significant problem in a huge market. We developed an ideal and unique solution, figured out an efficient method of making money, and have evidence to validate that our business plan and long-range vision are sound. We've assembled the perfect team and just need $750,000 to achieve our next significant set of milestones and continue to pursue global world domination and make you a lot of money in return. Like with any template, your company's pitch deck version will vary. If the experience and credentials of your team are among your biggest selling points, then you might want to cover the team first, even before describing the problem you're solving. Imagine the starting reaction of an investor if you tell them this is your third startup, all with exits, and the most recent one provided a 20 times financial return to your investors. There's no reason to leave information like that till the end of your pitch. Keep it simple. Notice that you didn't see a suggested section in the pitch deck for detailed financial projections. That is because it is a separate tool on its own. For pre-launch startups, I don't think a financial projection slide in the main section of the deck is required because it's total guesswork. For startups with an early track record of revenue and projecting $1 million or more over the next year, a financial projection slide probably generates credibility and helps support a needed dialogue about the future. But any projection slide in the main portion of the deck should only have high-level information, perhaps communicated via a graph. More detail about your financial projections can be put in the backup section. And regardless of where you put this information in your pitch deck, don't project out 5 years. Startups seeking a seed round of funding can project 18 to 24 months of financials, while those seeking a Series A might need to project out 3 years. Multiple versions. You will need at least 2 versions of your pitch deck, one for 5-minute on-stage pitch competitions and another that is longer and used for in-person investor meetings. Most sections will only have 1 or 2 slides. This means the on-stage pitch version probably has 8 to 10 slides total, and the sit-down version with investors probably has 12 to 15 slides plus a backup section. Furthermore, a pitch deck for Series A funding is typically a little longer than one for a seed round, and that's because there is more information to cover. More traction, more interesting metrics, more customers and partners, bigger team size, and so on. But your objective is not to jam as much information as possible into the pitch deck, but rather to have the right information to help tell your story and facilitate an exciting dialogue. Test driving the pitch deck. Just like your elevator pitch, your pitch deck should be practiced with a friendly audience, then repeatedly refined. If you were to put version numbers on your pitch deck to track the iterations and evolution over time, you might literally end up with 30 versions or more by the time the funding round is closed. This is because the reactions you get from many investor meetings will cause you to realize some key points weren't clear. Some are causing unnecessary concern, or a change needs to be made to the sequence of slides to better support storytelling. The best way to fine-tune your pitch deck in the early days of its use is to take it out on a test drive. First, with friends and family, as purely penalty-free practices. Then try it out on mentors at the incubator where you work, or random investors that exhibit low odds of investing in your venture. Basically, you want to iterate and improve quite a bit before using the pitch deck with the best, high-value investors on your prospect list. Your pitch deck will continue to iterate, even after using it with these high-value investors, but at least you won't embarrass yourself or kill the deal just because of a crappy pitch deck.